Welcome to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. I am your host, Daniel Kerbine. We're in the studio here with Bruce Gagnon, who is with the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. Bruce, thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you.
This is part of a tour that you're doing to get the word out about there are some pressing issues here that you want to make sure people know about. This is a pre-recorded interview, by the way. And so by the time you're hearing this, Mr. Gagnon will have been at the Peace and Justice Center in Santa Rosa and has been talking at the Santa Rosa Junior College, numerous interviews on KPFA, on KRCB, various media. The talk that he gives is titled The Deadly Connection, Endless War, and Economic Crisis. Thank you again for joining us, Bruce Gagnon. Can you tell us a little bit about what word it is that you're looking to get out about weapons, nuclear power in space, and things of that nature?
Well, all warfare on the Earth today is coordinated by space technology. So no matter whether you're a troop on the ground, driving a Humvee around Kabul, breaking down doors at 3 in the morning, going in and beating up or actually even killing civilians, as is the case. Their Humvees, inside of them, have computer screens that are hooked up to satellites that are giving them images of maps, new high-resolution three-dimensional maps. And this is all transmitted via space satellites. If they're in a boat or if they're in a plane or if there's a drone flying over Afghanistan and Pakistan with the person sitting in front of a computer holding a joystick, looking at the screen, and in real time, split-second time, they can transmit the signal from over Afghanistan or Pakistan as the drone, its camera, is viewing the ground. It goes all the way back to Creech Air Force Base outside of Las Vegas, Nevada, where the so-called pilot is sitting there flying this thing back in the United States, and he's looking at the screen. He's saying, is it Taliban? Is it Al-Qaeda? Is it a wedding? Is it a funeral? And he can pull the trigger on the joystick, and the signal, again, flies through space, through the satellite, in real time, split-second time, and then the drone fires the missile, and the kill is made. So all warfare today on the planet, coordinated by space technology. They call it net-centric warfare. When the U.S. launched the shock and awe invasion of Iraq in 2003, remember, we were going after the WMD, the weapons of mass destruction, that turned out not to be there.
Right, exactly.
In the initial attack, 70% of the weapons that were used were directed to their targets by space technology. And so today the Pentagon has a new command, fairly new command, called the U.S. Space Command. And their job is to give the U.S. military control and domination of space and the Earth below. But to whose benefit? And in one of their own planning documents called Vision for 2020 some years ago, the Space Command said that because of corporate globalization and the growing divide between the rich and the poor around the world, there's going to be a more and more instability as people kick up and protest and against this, what I call neo-feudalism. And as a result of that, they're going to need to bring these areas essentially under control. And with space technology in place, they'll be able to hear everything by intercepting all phone, fax, email communication. That's the job of the NSA, the National Security Administration. They'll be able to see everything with their military satellites that are flown by the NRO, the National Reconnaissance Office, and they'll be able to target everything on the Earth. And that's the what they call the joint commands, the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, that all each now have their own space command under the full command of the U.S. Space Command. So this is the reality of warfare on the planet. And then they go on to say this, that if we could do this, so could somebody else. We can't allow anyone else to have this technology in times of hostility. So we now have to develop what they call anti-satellite warfare, anti-satellite weapons, that would give the United States the ability to knock out or even minimally neutralize other countries' military space capability in times of hostilities. So this is creating a new arms race as Russia and China, and even, believe it or not, the European Union has been upset with the United States desire for control and domination of space. And at the Space Command headquarters in Colorado Springs of the Air Force Space Command, they wear a patch on their uniform that says Master of Space.
Wow.
So that's where we are. And yeah. I've been working on these issues for 29 years. And 20 years ago, this year, we created the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. And people can find out more information if you go to our website, spaceforpeace.org, space4peace.org.
This brings back some memories that I have from when the space shuttles were first being launched in the 1980s. My brother-in-law at the time was involved in a computer engineering kind of program and was very well read about national security, and he was definitely not pro the space shuttle missions. And I asked him why, and he said, well, because the reason why they're spending all that money to go up there is not so that we can have television. They've got national security priorities. This is all about war in space. That's what this is about. And that was back in the 1980s, people talking about the space shuttle. So it's been in progress for some time, evidently. Do you concur with that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, it's been in progress since right after World War II. You remember the Nazi scientist Wernher von Braun, Major General Walter Dornberger? They were in charge of the Hitler V-1 and V-2 rocket program.
Yeah.
That were used to terrorize the cities of London and Paris and Brussels near the end of World War II in Hitler's desperate quest to win the war at the end. And after the war was over, the United States smuggled into the U.S. 1,500 Nazi scientists and operatives. Former intelligence people were brought in to create our CIA, the Nazi rocket scientists, 100 of them, plus 100 copies of the V-2 rocket were brought to the U.S. secretly under this program, Operation Paperclip. The Nazi scientists that were taking Jews and doing mind control experiments on them, they were brought to the U.S. And back in the 60s, you remember the stories about the LSD drug experiments when people were jumping out of windows, killing themselves? Those were the former Nazi scientists. The program was called MKUltra. The flight medicine program, where they were taking Jews and putting them in freezing temperatures to see how the body would respond. They were brought to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio to create the U.S. flight medicine program after World War II. So the entire military-industrial complex was seeded with these operatives. And I've always wondered, when you do that, when you seed our military machine with so many of these former Nazis, many of them SS officers, and etc., is there an ideological contamination? Well, in the case of Major General Walter Dornberger, he was the guy in charge of the overall V-1 and V-2 program. He was brought to the U.S. He went to work for Bell Aerospace as vice president in New York. And in the 1950s, he testified before the United States Congress, giving his vision of the future, saying that we had to develop orbiting battle stations.
Yes.
And so the International Space Station and the shuttle were the elementary technologies as they began to develop these that would allow the U.S. to control and dominate both space and the Earth below.
Well, there was some collaboration between the U.S. and the Soviet Union, and then later with Russia, on bringing cosmonauts and astronauts up there, working together and taking pieces of their little Soyuz space station. And I mean, hasn't there been some collaboration of nations on working on this thing?
Yeah, primarily the U.S. did it because the International Space Station's price tag came to $100 billion. And it got so expensive that we couldn't afford to pay for it ourselves. And so the strategy was to get other countries involved to help them pay for it. But there was always a section of the International Space Station that was reserved for just U.S. military use, where they were doing Star Wars space weapons technology experiments there. So, you know, that's been the story all along.
So we don't really know what those space stations are capable of, not completely. I mean, you're talking about a very, very simple, it seems, use. I mean, it's very advanced technology, satellite technology, and using it to GPS map a so-called enemy location and all this. Pretty sophisticated, but it's still not firing like a laser beam straight at the Earth and taking out a division of foot soldiers or something. It's not the same as
science
fiction. Well,
they're working on those technologies today.
That's what I'm getting at, yeah.
They're working on ground-based lasers today that would fire up into space and knock out satellites. They're working on lasers that would fire from space to the earth below. In fact, on the cover of the planning document the Space Command did, Vision for 2020, there's a picture of a satellite firing a laser and hitting targets on the earth. So these are all technologies that they're working on today. They're working on so many different technologies. And recently you heard that the International Space Station was retired. And mm-hmm. so in its place now under development is the military space plane that would fly down from orbit. And in fact, the Space Command annually war games, an attack on China, said in the year 2016, a first strike attack trying to take out their nuclear capability. And the first weapon they use in this computer war game is the military space plane. Hmm. So again, many, many different technologies under development. And the key point here for the average citizen is, what's this stuff cost? And who's paying for it? And this is where the industry themselves are very worried. In an editorial in one of the industry publications, Space News.
Which industry is that?
Oh, the aerospace industry.
Aerospace industry, okay.
Yeah, Space News, it's a newspaper that comes out once a week. I subscribe to it and keep tabs on what they're doing. But in an editorial they wrote a few years ago, they said, look, we've got to be responsible corporate citizens, and we have to come up with a funding source for what will essentially be the largest industrial project in the history of the planet Earth, Star Wars. And they said, we have. We now are sending our lobbyists to Washington to secure this funding source. And they named it the entitlement programs, which officially in America are Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and what's left of the welfare program after Bill Clinton got finished with it. These are the programs that the military-industrial complex, the aerospace industry, have identified for defunding. So it's no coincidence in the last couple of years we hear all these attacks on the quote-unquote entitlement programs.
Right.
We're going to have to raise the retirement age. We're going to have to cut Medicare, Medicaid, blah, 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 on down the line. And so it's absolutely clear that social progress in America is under assault in a big way as they move us into neo-feudalism. And the reason why is because they don't need us in this country anymore for labor. They're getting cheaper labor overseas, and they are now taking us all down. That's what the strategy is. And the Pentagon has been saying for some time that under corporate globalization, every different country is going to have a different role, a different job. Our job, they say, will be security export, which means endless war to control the declining resources around the planet to the benefit of corporate globalization.
You're listening to Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio. This is a futurist show. We are looking at what are things that are guiding and affecting our future, and what are things that can put hamstrings around us going into our future as well. So I have with me Bruce Gagnon, who is representing Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, and who has come here from Maine.
Yeah.
Now, what we just got done talking about and what you just got done laying out for us is a program which is not so secret, really. It's been outlined in the aerospace industry for a while that the source for funding the space-based technologies for the future, where they get more complex and costly, is going to be coming from entitlement programs like our Social Security, like welfare programs, Medicare, Medicaid, anything that the government of the United States is giving to its people and citizens is going to need to go to this program for getting a hold of whatever's left of resources around the world. Because I was going to get to, why would a nation other than just pure brutal power like Dr. Strangelove be putting so much treasure of the nation into constructing something like this to direct at other nations who are not at war with us? And you hit on resources as the part that they may be after. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because one of the focuses of Shift Shapers when we look at the future coming at us, what we have to deal with going forward is depletion of resources. And what are countries and what are, well, we're beyond individuals right here in this discussion, but what are countries and what are portions of the world going to be putting in place to deal with that? Clearly, we're not being told that we're past the peak of oil production, even though that is the reality that science is telling us. So, Bruce Gagnon, can you tell us a little bit more about how that fits into this global vision of space dominance?
Well, it's all about that, I think.
Yeah.
It's all about it. That's why we are seeing this like cancerous growth of the U.S. military. Over $1 trillion a year now we spend on militarism in America. And it's all about, it's not about democracy, it's not about terrorism, it's not about protecting people around the world from dictators, it's not about any of that stuff. That's all the public relations spin in order to sell it to people, to make them afraid, to make them feel better about it, to make them feel like, oh, we are the greatest people, we care about people around the world. No, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's all about, you know, we all have come to understand that the corporations control our country. They've drowned our democracy.
It's not even radical to say that.
No, it's not. It's Everybody gets it. The 1% versus the 99%.
Right.
The oligarchy at the top and the rest of us at the bottom of the pyramid. Everybody understands that. So doesn't it make sense then that these very same people are going to try to grab up the remaining declining resources around the planet so that they can make excess profit, they can run the show? Well, that's their strategy. Okay, so how do you get it? How do you get control of it? How do you hold on to it?
Yeah.
Well, you got to have a quote-unquote forward deployed military. We now have up to 1,000, we meaning the United States Pentagon, has, I have to quit using that word we because I'm really not a part of it. The Pentagon has 1,000 bases all over the world to do what? Well, you know, and let's just use the illustration of Africa. Recently, the Pentagon has created a new command called AFRICOM or Africa Command. And their job is to set up basing relationships with each of the countries on the African continent and build what they call lily pad interventionary bases on every country in Africa. So Africa is resource rich. And so the idea then is that if anybody gets out of line, anybody gets out of control, we send in the military quickly into a particular place. We already got the bases set up in advance. We jump in to the lily pad. We put down, we suppress any opposition to corporate domination. Boom, there we have it. I recently saw a video of this African farmer going to his land to do his daily work. And as he arrived, there was this American white guy in a suit. And the American says, "You're out of here. I own this land now." And the African says, "What are you talking about? My family's been here forever. Get out of here or you will go to jail." Well, what's happening are the corporations are going in and buying up land all over Africa because of the resources under the ground. And they're pushing off the people. And this is creating instability, just like they predicted in the Space Command's vision for 2020. And as there is instability, then you have to bring in the gendarmes to take control of the people. And that's what it's all about. So that's where we're at. So whether it's oil, whether it's natural gas, whether it's water, whether it's mineral resources, it's the same story. America's role under corporate globalization, security export, our children will go and kill for the corporations. Our tax dollars will be taken from social programs, as Martin Luther King called them, programs of social uplift, and they'll be put into paying for this expensive corporate machine. And we will live literally in a neo-feudal state here in America where public education is defunded, social programs are going down the drain, our roads and bridges are falling apart, the entire human and physical infrastructure of the country collapses around us as we go forward. So the American people got to quickly come around on this. The Occupy movement that began last fall and through the winter was an exciting and hopeful moment because people are beginning to get the connection about this corporate domination. But the one critique I would have, constructive criticism I would have of the Occupy movement, is they're still not connecting to this larger corporate domination military connection. They get the military domination of our country and our government and our democracy and everything else, but they're not making then the connection, they're not connecting that dot to this global metastasized military machine around the world.
You've done a pretty good job here of clarifying. I'm talking to Bruce Gagnon with the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. You've done a great job here of connecting the dots to where all these bases are going in the parts of the world that we call developing. But now when we look at, I'm looking at a map of the world where China is being surrounded by U.S. military bases that various political theorists have said that's part of the reason for being in Afghanistan. One of the borders of Afghanistan is right smack against the south of China. And then there's this thing happening in Korea where they're destroying an island in order to put in a naval base suitable for even an aircraft carrier, is it, or just destroyers? What's the story on that? In Korea.
It's South Korea, just off the South Korean peninsula, is this island called Jeju Island. On the south side of the island is this little village. About 1,200 people live there, called Gangjeon Village. It's a 450-year-old village, fishing, farming. The old women put on wetsuits, go out, hold their breath, dive to the bottom of the sea, pick up sea urchins as a way to make a living, sell them for food. Offshore, these beautiful soft coral reefs that the soft coral just waves in the ocean currents. It's absolutely beautiful colors and beautiful tropical fish all around. They have to dig they've just begun to dredge this waterway here, and the soft coral reefs are going to be destroyed as they dredge to make the passageway deeper to bring in U.S. aircraft carriers, U.S. nuclear submarines, and Aegis destroyers outfitted with so-called missile defense systems. People are fighting against this nonviolently. I've never seen a more remarkable people in all my life than I've seen in this community, really fighting for a way of life, an entire culture. And this is a strategic port 300 miles from the coast of China. China imports 60% of its oil on ships and most of its resources on ships. And so the U.S. has basically said that we can't compete with China economically anymore, but if we control their access to oil and other resources, we'll hold the keys to their economic engine. So you might have noticed that a month or two ago, Obama announced a pivot of U.S. foreign and military policy into the Asia Pacific, and we're now doubling our military presence in the region. He went to Australia immediately after that, where we're going to deploy 2,500 Marines in northern Australia in the city of Darwin. Why does Australia need U.S. Marines there? Are they being invaded by someone? No. It's all part of this redeployment of U.S. military forces into the region as we encircle China, so that we can control and manage China, so that we can literally choke off their importation of resources. And the Space Command annually war games now, a first strike attack on China, computer war game set in the year 2016, where they are literally preparing for war with China. Now, some people say, well, they just do that all the time. No, in fact, when we invaded Iraq in 2003, that was all computer war gamed in advance. They do these computer war games to prepare for eventual wars.
Well, I have a question about China owning so much of our debt. Wouldn't this be like if you're out on the streets and you got this loan shark that you owe, you know, let's say a couple $1,000s to, and you decide that you're going to go threaten him with weaponry, even though you're owing this character a lot of money? I mean, it's sort of like that, isn't it? They actually weren't really a loan shark in those terms. It's just a convenient source of a lot of purchase of United States bonds went to China. They own a lot of our debt, trillions. Isn't this weird to be looking at something kind of an aggressive move against a country that could actually call out our debt and put us out?
Well, you know, I think your example is a really good one because it illustrates this point of rationality and irrationality. This person that borrows this money from the loan shark and then wants to go and duke it out with him or something is an irrational person, isn't it?
Yes.
It's an irrational act. It's a dangerous, provocative act.
And an armed loan shark at that.
Exactly. And so that's what the U.S. is doing. It is totally irrational. It is totally provocative. Can we use the word insane to try to do something like this? But we indeed are. And at the same time, we're doing the same thing to Russia. We're encircling Russia with these so-called missile defense systems, NATO expansion. Totally irrational. Why are we doing that? Well, it turns out that Russia has the world's largest supply of natural gas and significant supplies of oil. And again, I come back to this point that our job in the world today is a resource extraction service. So the Pentagon has become a resource extraction service for corporate globalization.
And security guard.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking to Bruce Gagnon with the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. There's a lot of territory we can cover with this.
This stuff is all on our website, spaceforpeace.org. We have a video section where we have many, many, many videos of this, documentaries, speeches, where you can find out a lot more information about all of this.
And you personally, Bruce, you said you're from Maine, and you're wearing a button that says Veterans for Peace. So you are someone who has actually been intimately involved in the military-industrial complex as somebody who served.
That's right. In 1971, I joined the Air Force during the Vietnam War. I was stationed at a base in California, Travis Air Force Base, that was an airlift base for the war. And it was there that I became a peace activist because I grew up in a military, right-wing, conservative family. I was a young Republican for Nixon in 1968, working on the Nixon campaign. So it was being at that base during the Vietnam War that turned me into a peace activist. And then when I got out of the Air Force, I was in college at the University of Florida and got recruited by the United Farm Workers Union to become an organizer of fruit pickers, and was sent to La Paz in California to the UFW headquarters where I was trained, and also by Cesar Chavez, who there were four of us from Florida, and he took us up to his office at night and would tell us stories about the union, and he personally took a role in training us during our time of training. So I believe that I owe much of my organizing skills to the United Farm Workers Union.
Well, may they serve you well. Again, Bruce Gagnon, G-A-G-N-O-N, coordinator for Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, also a former organizer with United Farm Workers, working on what we can do to be aware that this is where our country is going. We'll have to have you on again to talk some more
at
another time. All right,
glad.
Thank you for joining us on Shift Shapers.